We've entered into an extension of Kevin's agreement with Winnipeg Jets. Concept I think we actually started talking about, or I raised with Kevin back in the spring. And with the understanding that it was would be something we would discuss over the summer, and as it was a very busy summer for Kevin and his group. But we're able to come to an understanding last week, and I'm thrilled to report it to you today. I would just say to you that, you know, it's been the last 3 years, each year has been unique. The year leading up to our entry into the National Hockey League had its own characteristics. The first year, obviously, had its own characteristics as well. And then we went into a work stoppage, which was as well very unique. As challenging as it was, I would tell you that there were some benefits to it, in that it allowed our organization to sort of pause and look back and challenge the assumptions that we made the decision to enter the NHL on, and to look forward. And with a new collective agreement, I think we were able to see very clearly for a long term, and it really reconfirmed our original thinking and rationale for why we thought the Winnipeg Jets could be successful in a very challenging league. So over the past many months, I would tell you that we've been working on a long-term plan for this team and for our organization. You would have seen some evidence of it, and you'll hear more about it in the weeks and months to come. But you know, I'm referring to things like some small things that you wouldn't maybe see, but some building improvements that are really going to pick up in pace. You would have saw the player signings from last summer, and you're going to you're today seeing another example of it. Our plan is very simple. It is about reinvestment in our organization from top to bottom, from facilities to player personnel to key management. I think you all know that I hold Chevy in very high regard. I had known him for many, many years prior to bringing him on board. Had a chance to observe his abilities as a general manager over a course of many, many board meetings with the American Hockey League. I think over the past couple of years, I've learned that we probably underestimated his abilities. His character and his competencies were well known to Zinger and I, but we've just over the past couple of years just really confirmed what we knew and beyond. I cannot tell you how much confidence I have in Kevin's abilities. He's fit in seamlessly with our entire organization. I feel like we've been working together for far more than the last couple of years. Feels like he's been a part of what we've been doing here forever. So, you know, I learned a long time ago that doesn't matter how badly you want to achieve something, or in this case, win hockey games, you're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with. And I've learned that the hard way in some examples, but in this case, I think I've learned that couldn't have a more capable guy to be leading our hockey team for the long term. So we've extended Kevin back to his original term of 5 years. I believe he and his family are deserving of that. And I also believe that the fans of our organization are deserving of knowing where we're going and how we're going to get there. They invest considerably in what we're about. Through the purchase of tickets and sponsorships and suites, they deserve to know that we, A, have a plan and what it is. And I would tell you that one of the biggest parts of our plan is having our hockey team and its future in the hands of Kevin Cheveldayoff. So that's all I got to say. I'm happy to take any questions, but I think as Browner said, we'll let Chevy say a few words first.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. And, you know, first of all, on behalf of my family and myself, I'd really like to express gratitude towards True North Sports and Entertainment, Mark Chipman, David Thompson, for the continued support that, that I'm receiving here today. But even more so, I'd really like to reach out and say thanks to my staff. You know, one of the things that I echo Mark's sentiments is that you need to surround yourself with great people. And I think over the course of the years here, through some of the additions, some of the retentions, we've really surrounded ourselves with a great staff. You know, it starts with Craig Heisinger and Larry Simmons, my two assistant general managers, that you know, do a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes that that no one ever sees. And you know, you see some evidences of it in glimpses of the you know, the way the organization is run, the direction that it's going, from a scouting perspective, from an administrative perspective, and those two gentlemen, you know, are the pinnacle of their profession when it comes to that. And it extends also to you know, the pro and the amateur staffs. Marcel Como on the amateur side and Mark Dobson on the pro side have assembled a staff that not only you know, is very capable, competent, hardworking, but they share the vision that that we have within an organization. They share the vision that that we have with respect to what kind of people we want, what kind of players we want, and ultimately where we want to go as a team. So for that, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue to move this franchise forward with great people. Our coaching staff is an exceptional group of people that are hardworking. Obviously, embarking on a new season here, it's an exciting time for everybody. And I think, like Mark said, the part of the excitement is that you know, we know where the CBA is now. We know where training camp stands. We know all the different things that that over the course of time, there's been some uncertainties, and it's a great opportunity for us to begin a new season. So. Again, I think we'll open up to questions here, but certainly excited about the opportunity to continue working with everyone, including all of you.
For Chevy, you've tied yourself to this organization now for 5 years, and you're still a young guy. What has convinced you about this organization that it's going to spend the money and do the right things? I'm assuming you want to win a Stanley Cup, but what has convinced you about the organization that you're going to have the resources and ability to do that?
Well, from the moment that this franchise was awarded to Winnipeg, and I just go back to the very first time that I saw the passion in Mark's eyes when the announcement was made, and knowing the type of ownership, knowing the type of foundation that is in place, that excitement, that passion, that commitment to wanting to go about and doing it the right way, trying to chart a path and follow that path, knowing how hard it might be at different points in time to stay on that path and believe in it, that gives me tremendous sense of great, of a tremendous great feeling that that this organization is committed to doing what it takes for the long haul. And it only goes back to, I guess, the commitment that has been shown to this from this community, that I don't think this community ever lost faith that there was not going to be a National Hockey League team back in this community. And I think that that just speaks volumes to the type of people that are here, the type of fans that are here. And for me, I'm embracing this opportunity of helping build this franchise into something great for many years to come.
Mark, there's a sentiment out there that we'll find out this season if the organization is on the right track. Some draft picks may be coming into the roster. Some key trades have been made again. Yet you seem to not be waiting to see if it's on the right track. You're convinced that it is.
Yeah, I'm very confident we're on the right track. I you know, obviously I'm privy to you know, far more of the detail and thinking that goes into or coming to that conclusion. But I wouldn't say that. I mean, this is going to be a difficult year, and I think we're all very aware of that. We're going to be playing in a very difficult division, and I think we all think our team is better, but I wouldn't say that I could tell you 12 months from now that we're on, you know, that I'm any less convinced that we're on the correct path here. I think it'll prove itself out over many years, and you know, all I can tell you is I'm just very, very comfortable with the way things have progressed since Kevin has been on board, and having had the chance to observe the decision-making process, the thoughtfulness that's gone into it, to the way we approach things, and not necessarily on the things that, you know, all get reported on, just the day-to-day approach to what we're trying to achieve. I have a very high degree of confidence, and so it that occurred to me quite some time ago, and so it made sense that we ought to formalize it and get Kevin's skill set locked down, sort of hit the reset button, and, you know, because in some respects I feel like we're just getting started, Paul. You know, I really do, and I don't mean to suggest that those first 2 years weren't important, but we had to absorb a lot, and in the first couple of years we've done that, and now we can kind of see above the tree line, and we've built a plan around this new agreement and what it means for us, and but what hasn't changed is it still needs a real strong hand on the wheel, and that's what Kevin brings to our organization.
So not making the playoffs this year, it doesn't have to make the playoffs this year, this team too.
No, I mean, obviously that's our expectation. It was last year, and it absolutely 100% is our expectation, and nobody feels more strongly about that than myself and Kevin. I can assure you that. But we're in this for the long haul, Paul. We will have success. I'm convinced of that. I wish I could put a, you know, give you a date and the definition of what that is exactly, but we're moving in the right direction. We will have success.
Talked about Kevin's abilities and his capabilities and the confidence you have in him. Could you offer some more tangible examples of what he's accomplished that brought you to this conclusion?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, even in that first year, organizing an amateur scouting group into a draft that I think will prove to be a pretty successful draft for us, when people didn't even know, you know, we didn't even know one another, just the calmness that was demonstrated in getting us through that first draft, and then I think the very deliberate steps that were taken in advance of this year's draft in order to acquire the picks that we were able to acquire, and the resulting players that came from those picks that I think everybody's feeling pretty good about right now. So it would, you know, there are a lot of details, but I would say it's been very deliberate. It's been very thought out. And I don't think, you know, there aren't any shortcuts to success in this business, and it comes as a consequence of making the right decision consistently. You know, you're going to make mistakes from time to time, Kevin needed to know that that's okay. You know, making mistakes in any business is going to occur. It's how you respond or how what you learn from them. And I'm not suggesting at all that there's been any mistakes that have been made. I haven't seen one, to be honest with you. But if there were, I don't think that Kevin's the kind of guy or is going to be one to overreact. So I'm rambling on here, but I don't know if I'm giving you a good answer, Gary, but it's just been a very thoughtful, deliberate process that continues to give me confidence.
Has he done what he told you he was going to do? When you sat down to hire him and you interviewed him and he explained to you, this is Kevin Sheldahl's plan on what I'm going to do for the Winnipeg Jets. Has he executed that?
Yeah, very much so. And you know, I mean, I remember the first conversation we had about the idea of him coming to be our general manager. And it went well, but I remember having to follow up right away afterwards and saying, you know, with some further clarity about how I thought this might go, and it had to do with what I thought was achievable from a payroll perspective in the first couple of years, and I think Kevin was relieved to learn of what I was, you know, what we were thinking, And so, you know, he delivered exactly what we expected of him in the first couple of years, because there were some parameters on our payroll, et cetera. But beyond that, I think what he's done, he's exceeded what I expected, in that he's organized three very good drafts. And as we've said to you guys over and over and over, that's what we're about, is drafting and developing young players. He got the core of our team tied up this summer and did a very, very, very good job of that.
Mark, is it important that Kevin have the same amount of term as many of the players that he's signed, re-signed for this hockey club?
That's a good question. I don't really look at it in those terms. I think players, you know, they command term and dollars. It's a marketplace that they exist within. I don't think of it along those lines. I just think of it as we got a plan. Who's best to drive it? It's Kevin Cheveldayoff, and as I said, he's entitled, and his family's entitled to know that we're behind him, and our fans are entitled to know the extent to which we support him. That's how we came to the term.
Kevin, has there been any surprises being a general manager for 2 years in the NHL?
Well, I think each and every day you wake up and there's certainly new challenges that that come on board. I think that you know, when you're in a process like this, I think the real challenge is to resist the opportunity to try and accelerate this at a great cost. And by that I mean, you know, we sit there in the boardroom on many different occasions, be it prior to the draft or prior to free agency or certainly during free agency, and you know, you really want to make things happen quickly. You really want those kind of things just to fall into your lap, or to say, you know, wow, wouldn't this be great if we could just make this happen? And then, you know, you sit there, so you chart a course. You know, I'd say over the course of the different years that we've done different things, you know, July 1st or July 5th in this particular year is always a very interesting year. It'd be an interesting time because, you know, you sit back and you know, you go through the exercises prior to, you know, those kind of things, and you meet with your staff and your scouts, and certainly, like a lot of people, you say, well, this guy would look great right here. But then you go through the process of trying to see what would it take, wouldn't it take, and you know, those are the kind of things that are challenges, because you know, you really know that the, you know, or think that there's an easier way or a quicker way to try and do it. But then when you start drilling down and getting into it, you realize that you have to stay the course. You have to be judicial in your expectations and realistic expectations of what, you know, can happen at different points in time. So, you know, again, we've talked long about, you know, the process, going back to some of the things that Mark talked about when we first sat down and talked about, you know, this opportunity and what it would take, and not knowing some of the challenges, obviously, that were going to lie in front of us with respect to an uncertain CBA, on how that might affect our team, our particular market, our particular organization, given the state of where some of the players were at that point in time, with respect to free agency and unrestricted free agency. You know, we talked a lot about those things, and you know, we went over a lot of those scenarios earlier on. You know, the fact that a lot of these things came to culmination this summer with respect to extensions of players and those kind of things, these are things that you know, if you've known how many times we've talked about this in the different board meeting settings and the different things, you know, these are things that are discussed quite, you know, quite extensively. And even to the point of when we talked about, you know, Claude and the extension and this summer, there's processes that are in place within our organization, the communication side of things, the discussions that go on from top to bottom, and the kind of relationship that I have with Mark and with the board in general. They're great relationships. They're healthy relationships, and so these things help smooth out the different challenges that come along the way. But I can't echo the words even better than the sense that you know, the playoffs are something that are very, very important to us. We talk about them, we think about them. You go into our, you know, players' lounge, there's different signs, there's different measurements. I'm trying to make sure that you can get in. But, you know, it's to compete for a Stanley Cup. That's why you're getting into the playoffs. You know, in order to win a Stanley Cup, you've got to get into the playoffs. So those are the challenges that you sit and you look at each and every day. And you know, I've got a thing on my desk that I talk, you know, that I go through each and every day. You know, I deal with the NHL team on a whole. I deal with the amateur side on a whole. I deal with the pro side on a whole, and I make sure that, you know, I try and touch base and or try and touch some of those aspects each and every day of the organization, because to ultimately have success in this organization long term, all those things have to function. They all have to function, you know, simultaneously, and they all have to function well.
The GM told me that it was at Penticton, looked at your entire group and said, if they leave this alone and they don't mess this up, in 3 or 4 years, this organization could be a force. Was that what your plan was, to get to have that depth and to restock? And do you think you're getting close?
Well, certainly we're trying to create some stability, some foundation within this organization. I think if you look back over the history, you know, whether you've liked the player or you haven't liked the player, you know, the players have moved on. But we have to try and find a way to create some stability, create some culture here, create some expectations within the group, and then start having, you know, young players come into the group and pushing that bar higher and keep pushing it higher. And we're very excited about some of the young kids that we drafted. And, you know, we had a very successful Penticton tournament. You know, there's a tremendous amount of excitement in the youth that, you know, when you see them on the ice and just the joy that they have to put the Jets jersey on and the pride that they have, those are the kind of things that we're going to try and continue to build upon. And I think one thing that we've really shown is that the culture of the Jets here is one such that once you become part of it and once that you've experienced it, you really want to be a part of it. And that's what we really set out to try and achieve when we came in, is that when the people were exposed to the people of Winnipeg, to the fans of Winnipeg, to the culture of the Winnipeg Jets, to the expectations of the Winnipeg Jets, that they would say, I want to be a part of it. And that's kind of the things that we're starting to see. And with the hopeful injection of some you know, some youth into our lineup this year and the impact that they can start to make, you know, that's something that we're very excited about. When I met with the players on the opening night of training camp this year, my message to them was, this is your team. Like, this is yours. It's not mine. It's not Mark's. It's not Claude's. It's your team. And, you know, with the extension of the players' contracts, with the injection of some youth, with, you know, bringing in some players over the course of time, you know, you could tell that there was a sense of pride in the players that this is their team.
How do you like Scheifele between Sadaguchi and Kane?
You know what? It was interesting. The game was exciting. You know, there was a big ice, so there was a lot of room to move around out there. You know, again, I really think that you know, a player like Evander is poised to take the next step. I think you know, I was commenting to Mark this morning in one of our meetings that you know, when he grabbed the puck yesterday and was skating down the ice, you could sense the building even felt like, you know what, something might happen here. And that's an exciting moment when you start to see players and fans and you know, people expecting that when, you know, the puck is on someone's stick, that something good might happen. Those are great things. You know, that's a level of excitement that you know, makes all of us excited.
So what does this team have to do this season to reinforce what you're trying to do?
They have to take another step. They have to continue to find ways to improve. And you know what? There's lots of room for improvement here. We've gone over it many, many different times. There's you know, certainly team statistics that obviously are important, you know, to take the next step upon. There's individual, you know, accomplishments. There's individual player growth. I think I talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that, you know, I see Evander taking the next step. We saw Ladd take the, you know, a little bit of a step last year on the leadership side, how he played. You know, one of the things that we talked about with this group is that whatever the foundation, whatever the core was, this group had to continue to find ways to get better. We're going to find, we're hopeful we found some players that have addressed some needs with respect to different positions, with the addition of Sadaguchi, with the addition of Frolik. You know, obviously, we talked a little bit about the youth, and anytime you're bringing youth into a lineup, you're hoping that there's an injection of that enthusiasm and that, you know, their talents, that their abilities are all in front of them, and that they're going to, you know, keep pushing the bar. We talked about, you know, as an organization, we, you know, one of the things that we've always talked about is that we want to get bigger, but yet we want to keep the speed. You know, so we want to play an aggressive style of hockey, and I don't want to take the word aggressive, meaning, you know, in the fisticuffs or the pugilistic side, but hard hockey, playing hard to play against, because, you know, you're going to get backed off with, you know, defensemen that have speed coming up on the secondary side. You're going to get backed off because you have wingers that are going to challenge you, you know, head on, as opposed to, you know, maybe going side to side. That, you know, you've got, you know, those kind of things. And if we can find a consistent basis of that, and if we can take the next step, you know, individually and collectively, you know, then I believe that we're going to take the next step as an organization. And again, once we take that next step, that doesn't mean anything other than the fact that we've taken that next step and we have one more step to go. We always have to continue to push the bar higher. And, you know, as an organization, it doesn't matter what level of success that you have, you have to continue to push the bar higher. And for me, you know, sometimes that comes in different ways. Sometimes it's maybe being a hard ass, you know, within the group. And sometimes it means, you know, supporting and doing things that, you know, that help support people. But, you know, again, the foundation is in place from an ownership perspective that this team is here for the long term. It's here to be a successful franchise, and, you know, the resources that are needed to continue to, you know, take those next step and ensure those next steps, they're there.
Kevin, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and it's more conceptual though than concrete. So if you're a fan who has to make a decision about buying tickets or buying a jersey or getting a hat or whatever, what can you hang your hat on, or your jersey, per se? I mean, what can you give a fan to grab onto other than a really well thought out concept?
Well, you know, in the professional sports world, certainly, you know, wins and losses are the tangible evidence on each and every night as to, you know, what is deemed success and failure. But I think from a fan's perspective, what they're looking at is that, you know, the people that I guess are in charge of the organization, the people that are part of the organization, that the players that are part of the organization are, you know, going to put in as much, if not more, into you know, the eventual outcome of that game, of that sport, as the fans are into, you know, putting out the money or making the decision to have the discretionary entertainment you know, in their lives. One thing I know that the fans are, that the players understand, is that the fans here are very invested. In a very short period of time, they have become extremely invested in this group of players, in the success of this team, and I think that, you know, that's a real testament, you know, to the nature of the fan here in Winnipeg. Very proud, very very passionate about their sports. But I think it also shows that, you know what, they appreciate the game, that they love this game of hockey and how much it means to not only Winnipeg, but, you know, to Canada in general. And I think it goes back to when we talked about the players. Like, when the players come here, they get it and they want to be a part of it. And that's really been evidenced, you know, over the course of time. So from a fan's perspective, they should know that, you know, as an organization here, we're not just happy just kind of being here. We are going to try and keep pushing the bar daily.
To that point, last one, guys, and maybe a comment from both of you. It's rare that you keep the Kane, Pavlik, Enstrom one summer, going to this summer. Maybe just a comment on how hard it was to, from the time you started to now, to get all those guys locked up, because law of averages in pro sports today means one or two of those guys are just moving on for whatever reason. Can you talk about how tough it was and maybe how you feel about accomplishing that? And same from you, Mark.
Well, from my perspective, like we talked about this process, you know, for a long period of time. But first we needed to go through the evaluation side to learn in some cases about these players as people, and about these, you know, players as, you know, do they want to be a part of something that's going to be built for the long term? And so as we got to know the players and as we continued to have these discussions, you know, again, we set out with a plan to say, okay, you know what, we're going to go to these guys and talk about our vision. We're going to talk about our plan. We're going to tell them where they fit into the equation here, and we're going to talk about, you know, having the foundation in place from an ownership standpoint that, you know, they shouldn't have to worry about when we do get to that point, is there going to be enough? Is there going to be that ability to keep this group together? We had tremendous uncertainty as to, you know, where the salary cap was going to be, how those kind of things, you have to take some leap of faith, but you know, we talked about, you know, how we were going to develop from within. We talked about, you know, the youth that was eventually going to come into the organization and complement those players, you know, being at the age that they're at. It wasn't so much, you know, a tough sell. You know, it was just that, you know what, we sensed their excitement, they sensed our excitement, and you know, you'd have to ask the individual players, but you know, we're very proud of how, you know, those players have committed. But that does go back to what I said, is that, you know, just because they commit and just because we're in this situation here, sitting here today, you know, the bar is going to be pushed higher and higher and higher, and that we would expect nothing different.
Just impressive that your GM managed to do all those signings over the past 3 years.
Well, I think it's very much to his credit, and you know, and I would say to you that in most of those cases, if not all, I would have had a chance to really observe the process, if not be involved in it, in terms of sitting down and talking with the players and trying to explain to them what I was hoping to try and explain to you guys today, that we have a long-term plan. So in not one case have we had any pushback that I could detect at all from a player or from their representative that they didn't want to be in Winnipeg or didn't want to be a part of the Jets. And I think that was a question that was rightfully asked when we came back into the league, because there had been some history of that in the past, that, you know, it's cold, it's small, it's, you know, under-resourced or thought to be. And are you ever going to be able to attract, you know, free agents or retain your key guys? And you know, I think we've answered that question. And I can tell you, you can ask these guys to a man, that not only was it not an issue, they wanted to come back. They wanted to come back because they, I think, for a number of reasons, I think they like the direction our team's going in, and they feel that they're a big part of it. And what, you know, one thing I've learned about players, players want to win, okay? In the end, players want to win. And even when they've got multiple choices and where they can go and play, players want to win. I've never met one at a professional level that doesn't have that as their purpose. So I think they sense that there's an opportunity to do that here over the long term, and they want to be a part of it. I think they absolutely love the atmosphere and the sort of the ethos of our hockey world in Winnipeg. They just what's not to like about it? Players want to win and they want to perform in front of appreciative fans, and we have that here. So, I mean, credit to Chevy. He did a fine job of getting all those guys signed. He really did. But he was not up against, you know, belligerent agents and players saying, I got, you know, not only am I not taking a hometown discount, you got to pay me more to stay. That has never come up in one negotiation. It's always been about how can we find a way to stay because we want to stay.